This is Joanna Schrader reporting for domesticfuel.com, and I am at the Iowa Renewable Fuels Summit, Iowa RFA Summit. It's a mouthful, with Monty Shaw, who's the executive director. Monty, how are you?
Well, we just finished up, so I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Well, you know, you got a bad blow dealt to you with the weather, but despite that, I mean, what a fabulous, fabulous conference you had today. You know, briefly, what were some of the highlights, do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, with the weather, the on-site crowd was a little slow, but if people give us a few days, we're supposed to have the speeches up on YouTube, and so hopefully a lot of people will take a chance to look at the agenda. You know, I get in trouble when I pick highlights because I thought I liked everything we had, but certainly hearing from the governor and his commitment to renewable fuels on some of those issues was important. I thought Ann Cornyn, who's a national security expert, you know, some of her stuff I agreed with, some maybe I didn't, but she's thought-provoking, she's interesting, she provides a different perspective, and I think that's always healthy. Tom Bias did a great job of really laying out the battle ahead, and then I thought we ended on a real positive note. We had both the nation's first E15 retailer and Iowa's first E15 retailer here to share their story and how happy they are and how they think other retailers need to really get on board with this. And so that was really just kind of a positive way to end the day.
Well, Monty, you know, you gave some comments, and part of that were sort of, you know, we're in Iowa, and you focus a lot on Iowa, though you do definitely, you know, have an impact much beyond the borders. But what is sort of the state of the state for Iowa, you know, going into last year, and maybe what do you think you're going to see for the state going into this next year?
Well, the industry, I mean, 2012, you know, started out what you might say is normal, but it was a tough ending for both ethanol and biodiesel. Now, going into 2011 now, biodiesel's doing a little bit better. We've got the tax credit back in place. We have the higher RVO number for the renewable fuel standard, and so we should have a record year of biodiesel. On ethanol, though, I mean, the corn crop is what it is. Gasoline demand's down a little bit. So, you know, we've seen plants in other states, you know, go idle. Luckily, in Iowa, we haven't had any yet. I hope we don't. So I think, you know, we're still struggling to find that equilibrium of production and price that matches where we need to be. And that's going to be what we deal with all the way till the harvest. And then, you know, God willing, we'll have a great harvest this fall. And in the fourth quarter, we can, you know, start really going great guns again. Or we might not. So, you know, we're all praying for rain here. And as disappointing as the blizzard-type conditions were that cut our crowd back, that snow will melt. And so I can't be totally upset by it because we need the moisture.
Right. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about ethanol. I think the biggest news story just going right into this year is E15. You know, yep. EPA approved E15 several years ago. Then you had to go through labeling, and then you had to go through this, and you had to go through that. And, you know, there's two different things that your organization does in terms of E15. One of them is you do help retailers with the process,
yep,
of being approved to sell and all that. And then you also have launched a consumer education campaign to really get people aware of E15. So starting with from the retailer perspective, what kind of programs can they see from you in the next couple of years?
Well, the first thing is we actually have people on contract that will go out and meet with retailers, answer their questions, put the pencil to paper, talk about Iowa has a great set of incentives for retailers. When they sell the fuel, they've got some great grants to help with any infrastructure needs there might be. And if you can actually get 30 minutes of the right person's time and go through that with them, most retailers go, wow, this actually makes financial sense. I didn't think it would. And so we have to continue to do that outreach. And then there are some grant applications that have to be filled out. You have to register with the EPA and the what's called the RFGSA survey. And that's not hard, but we'll actually do that on behalf of the retailer. We want to be, you know, maybe Staples will sue me, but we want to be the big red easy button for retailers in Iowa to get E15 out there. We've got two stations now. I mean, we're just getting started. We've got four or five more in the pipeline that should be coming online in the near term. And then, you know, obviously we want to see 50 or 100 as soon as we can. So then on the promotion side, we will work with retailers once they offer this fuel to educate the consumers in their area. So we do that. We don't have the budget to just go out and do some kind of massive education campaign. We target it in where the fuel is actually available. But we also are trying to participate in some of the national awareness campaigns as well.
But there's no reason why consumers who want to see E15 in their area or even higher blends of ethanol can't come to you and become a member of your organization and help support some of these programs, correct?
Sure. I mean, anyone can join, but, you know, more important than that, if you're really interested in this, you need to talk to your retailer and say, hey, give these guys 30 minutes. I know you're busy. A lot of these retailers are small business folks. They own 1 to 3 stores. They don't have a big back office staff to do all this research. They're busy running their business. But we're like, give us 30 minutes at lunch. Give us a coffee break. Let us walk through this and put some pencil to paper. Because if they give us that first 30 minutes, it almost always goes forward from there.
So, Monty, you know, I talked to a lot of the people who were very much enjoying the sessions today, and they seem pretty optimistic about E15. So from your experience, I mean, you've been in the biofuels industry for a long time. You know, you spent a lot of time in D.C. Are you optimistic for E15 going forward?
Well, I am, and I am because I'm optimistic that we will hold the line on the federal renewable fuel standard. The bottom line is when you hit 2014, if the federal renewable fuel standard is in place, then the big oil companies that want to keep the monopoly won't be able to. They'll have to crack the door open for E15. They'll have to accommodate that fuel. It'll be a little bit like how E10 went. I mean, they said, oh, you can't sell it in California. It won't work. And then, boom, we were there literally in about 2 weeks. Everybody, once the dam broke, it went like wildfire. Same thing in the Southeast. Now E10's in 95% of the fuel sold in America. I don't know if E15 will happen quite that quick, but I think what you'll see is as the RFS ramps up, I think what you'll see is there will be areas where these oil companies are smart. One of our panelists was talking about that. These are smart people, and they have the resources to do good research. They already know how they're going to accommodate E15 if they're forced to. If they can just keep their monopoly, they're not going to allow it in, no matter how cheap it is or how good it is for consumers. They're just going to keep selling you the petroleum. But if that door gets cracked open, they already know it's going to go in this RFG market, or maybe it'll go in a place like Iowa because we want it. You know, there will be things like that. So I think what will be funny is we'll take these little bitty baby steps, and it'll be excruciatingly slow, and all of a sudden, boom, a big step will happen. Then we're probably, you know, hey, where's the next one? Then all of a sudden, boom, it'll happen. So I am optimistic. That's a really long answer. I'm sorry.
No, but you know, on a biodiesel side, what do you see as maybe being the best opportunity for a biodiesel in Iowa this year?
You know, in Iowa, we're doing pretty good. About a third of the diesel sold in Iowa is already blended with biodiesel on about a B5 average. So we're already doing well there. But why, you know, so we have two goals. Number one, get that 33% up to, you know, 100% by adding some, and basically, we just need to get some blending facilities at the jobber type level or at the terminal type level, so that more retailers can just zip there, pick it up, take it, drop it in their tank. After that, the key is to get, you know, let's turn that B10 customer into a B5 customer, excuse me. Let's turn them into a B10 or a B20 customer in the summer. And see if we can't get that average blend rate up.
Well, great. So you'll be here again next year, I hope.
Well, we certainly plan to have the 8th annual Iowa Renewable Fuel Summit next year. We are debating, you know, we always review the options, so it'll happen. Where it'll happen, I don't know, and when it will happen, I don't know, because I'm not sure I want to take on another January. Although when I raised that point today, most of the people thought January still works and you just deal with it, and some years you get lucky and some years you don't. So,
all right, we have to promise you, Monty, that you're not going to go silent, though, between now and then.
Oh, no.
Keep us up to date on E15 and biodiesel and all the things that are going on.
I think anyone who knows me knows that the chances of me going silent are fairly small, so for better or worse.
No, that's good. And then where can people go to get, you know, listen to the speeches who weren't able to be here and see the photos?
Yeah, you know, we don't have a big staff like the oil companies, so don't go there, you know, don't, let me start over. We don't have a big staff like the oil company, so it may take us a day or two till after the summit, but we will post the PowerPoints and like my prepared remarks real quick, hopefully by the end of this week. We then, and it depends on a vendor, but we did film the summit, and we hope to take each speaker and turn that into a YouTube video, and then we'll be putting emails out. So if people didn't come, either because of the weather or for whatever reason, they should still have access to cherry-pick the speakers they want to learn more from.
Great. Thanks, Monty.
All right. Thank you.